And grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And you may be seated. Give us this day our daily bread, right? The manna in the desert. Think of it. Exodus chapter 16, the people are starving in the desert. God feeds them. How often? Every day. For how long? 40 years. 40 years wandering in the desert. Think of it. There's not a Taco Bell in sight. That is deprivation, isn't it? No burritos, no enchiladas, no rice and beans. And God provides, right? Every day. That text, I believe, is the background to Jesus teaching us to pray. We'll pray it later in this service. Give us this day our what? Our daily bread. Provide me, Lord, not with more than I need, but everything I need, and I look to you. I love the catechism. Give us this day our daily bread. What does this mean? God certainly gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers, even to all evil people. Wrap your head around that, right? But we pray in this petition that God would lead us to realize this and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. To realize this and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. The reason I like those words from Luther is that they point out one of the realities is, the big picture reality is, does God give us good gifts? Has God blessed us richly and abundantly? Most of us even more than we need, right? But it's a challenge. The big point is God provides, but the challenge is this, is how we respond to God's provision. And there's a lot of ways to get it wrong. I want to mention some real quickly. One of the things that happens a lot of times when we think about God's provision is that we can construct a false golden age. It used to be better in the past, remember? Remember how wonderful it used to be? Don't we talk that way? Even as Christian people. I remember when, that kind of stuff. I know it must be a sign of my age. Half my sentences begin with the words, when I was a boy. And as soon as I hear that, I think, old man, stop talking like that. We construct a false golden age in the past. We think it used to be better back when. I love how much Israel does it, even in the desert. God has rescued them from slavery. They say this in Exodus 16. They get out to the desert. They encounter their first hardship. And what do they say? They say, do you remember when we were back in Egypt and we sat around pots of meat and we ate all the food we wanted? Isn't that in the text? In Egypt, we had everything we ever wanted. Pizza, tacos, meatball sandwiches. Remember those good old days? Do you remember those good old days? Don't you, when you read that text, what do you want to say to them? You were slaves. You were slaves, right? They construct a false one. They were enslaved in Egypt. They had hard taskmasters. They get out in the desert and encounter some difficulty and they say, man, we had it great back in those days. Don't do that, right? We want to live back in the past. We make it better than it was. We should remember the past in the sense of remembering God's blessings, but not to remember, like, man, I wish we were back in slavery, back when we used to eat all we wanted. God gives us good gifts. Here's the next thing we can do to misunderstand them is we can start to get a sense of entitlement, like God owes us. Isn't that what entitlement says? Thanksgiving says, when you give me a gift, I thank you for it. What's the next step after Thanksgiving? We can let it slip into not just that you gave me a gift, but that you ought to have given me a gift. Do we do that? The Lord God ought to bless us. Jesus heals 10 lepers. How many are thankful? One. What do the other guys think? He owes that to us. I'm sick. God should heal me. No, God gives good gifts. We should receive them, as Luther said, to receive it in thanksgiving, to acknowledge that it comes from his hands. The people of Israel had a sense of entitlement in Jesus' day because they were saying to Jesus, you should be feeding us every day. Did you notice that our text started with the words the next day? The reason it started with the words next day is it's letting us know Jesus fed the 5,000 the previous day, right? Isn't that a miracle? Jesus in the desert, people of God in the desert, hungry, Jesus created food from one young boy's lunch. And what are they saying? Do it again. Do it again. Third challenge for us is that we can easily focus on the material gifts over the spiritual gifts. Jesus confronts that with them. They're looking for Jesus, that sounds good. They want to follow Jesus, that sounds good, right? If they're looking for Jesus the Savior, but they're not, what are they looking for? Lunch, right? Jesus said to them, you weren't looking for me because you saw the signs, you're looking for me because you ate and had your fill. Isn't that the way it is? God can provide us with material blessings, isn't that right? Most of us could look at our material blessings and say, God has prospered me, right? Most of us have that reality. God has prospered me spiritually, but even materially. And the danger is that we can start to lower our vision and look just at the material things and say, wow, look what I drive. Look where I live. Look at my bank. And it's easy to sort of forget that God is the source of those things and to think it's a material thing. I love that the words before our pericope, Jesus feeds the 5,000, and the next thing it says is Jesus had to withdraw from that place because they meant to make him king. Jesus prospered us. Jesus gave us stuff. I want Jesus to feed my belly. Feed me, Lord. Let's make him king. Another challenge is that sometimes we want a false sense of security. The prayer says, give us this day our what? Our daily bread. Our what kind of bread? Daily. Lord, give me enough for today. Do we pray that way? In the Lord's Prayer, we pray that way, but usually we want not just enough to be comfortable, we want enough to be what? Secure. Isn't that right? God provides us richly with his blessings today, and then tomorrow, and the next day, and we tend to look at it and say, Lord, if I could just accumulate a little more, and then a little more, if I could just accumulate a lot more, I'll feel safe and secure. Is that our security? Is our portfolio our security? It is not, right? Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Let me depend on you today and every day. And the last danger with the gifts of God is, by the way, it's a difficult thing, right? God wants to give us gifts, and then we can misunderstand. The last one is this, to focus on the gift over the giver. Who gives us good gifts? God. And then we say, oh, look at this shiny object, right? By the way, I always love the Gospel of John. You know, the Gospel of Mark, we've been reading in most recent weeks. Mark is a book of action, right? This is what Jesus did. And Jesus is always going and doing stuff and doing the miraculous. In John chapter 6, it's the same passage, the feeding of the 5,000, same passage. But in John 6, we get what Jesus says. It's really engaging. The crowds are looking for Jesus. They're following around. They're thinking, feed our bellies. And Jesus says to them, don't work for food that spoils, but that endures for eternal life. Right? To look for the spiritual gift. And because he said work for food, they hear that word, works. Boy, do we love works, right? And so they say to him, what must we do to do the works that God requires, right? It's always that way. People turn religion into works righteousness as quick as you can blink an eye. Jesus, if you tell me what to do, I'll do it. Which is false. We don't do it either. And Jesus says this, what is the work of God? To believe in the one he sent. Isn't that a wonderful sentence? What's the work of God? To believe in Jesus. That's the work. And it's funny, Jesus says they need to believe in him. What's the next thing they say? What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe? I don't know, like Israel constructing the false glory days of slavery. Jesus did the feeding of the 5,000 when? Yesterday. Yesterday. Jesus says, believe in the one that God has sent. They say, well, fine, what are you going to do? Show us a sign, Lord. And I want to say, he just did a sign yesterday. Feed us again. Moses gave us the manna, and Jesus says this, Moses didn't give you the manna, God did. And by the way, the real bread is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. What's he talking about? Himself. He's saying, guys, don't miss the point. I'm going to provide. I'm going to provide richly and abundantly, and don't miss the point. The gift is Jesus, not the manna. Do you remember Jesus and the woman at the well? That one woman, she came out there to the well, hot of the day. And Jesus says that if you believe in him, he will give you water that wells up to eternal life. And she says, give me that water. What was he talking about? Himself. They say it here. Jesus says the bread of life is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives you eternal life. What do they say? Give us that bread. What's the answer? I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. One of the wonderful I am statements, by the way, the Gospel of John. Does God provide richly, abundantly, more than we even ask or hope for? Isn't that one of the prayers of the church here? More than we can ask or hope for. It's easy to misunderstand the gifts of God. What are we supposed to do? The opposite of all that, right? Don't construct a glorious former golden age. Where are we supposed to live? Right now, in the present. With Jesus, don't look for material gifts. God gives material gifts. We want to look for the spiritual gift. What's the spiritual gift? Life and salvation and forgiveness of sins. Doesn't that sound good in Christ? To be fed and eat and never be hungry? He's not talking about my belly. He's talking about my soul. Jesus gave them bread, but Jesus advances that thought. On the feeding of 5,000, Jesus gave them bread. In John chapter 6, Jesus is the bread, right? Jesus is the bread that feeds the soul. Life, salvation, forgiveness of sins. This is the Jesus who comes not just to do miracles, but to give himself, right? To give himself. His cross, his resurrection for you and for me, and to give us day after day renewal and strength and hope and a future. That sounds good. Give us this day our daily bread. And God does give us daily bread, and he asks us to what? To acknowledge that it comes from his hand and to receive it with thanksgiving. Amen. And we stand together. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.